This sore travail came upon this great land. I'd like for you to look at that in the last chapter, Jeremiah the 52nd chapter, Jeremiah 52, verse 1. Zedekiah was 21 years old, and he began to reign. He reigned 11 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And he rebelled against the king of Babylon. In verse 4, it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, the 10th month, the 10th day, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah, in the 4th month, the 9th day. The famine was sore. And then we find the city was broken up. Verse 12, in the 5th month, in the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, and which served the king. He burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, all the houses of the great men. He burned with fire. And the army of the Chaldeans, that were with the captain of the guard, they break the wall down. And he carried away certain of the poor, and residue of the people remained in the city. And Nebuzaradan, verse 16, captain of the guard, left the poor for vine dressers and husbandmen. There's something else he did. Verse 9 and 10. They took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon to Riblah in the land of Hamath. That was up right near Damascus in Syria. It wouldn't be in Israel now. It'd be in Lebanon. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Judah and Riblah. And he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon. He bound him in chains, he carried him to Babylon, and put him into prison till the day of his death. And there we begin to see some of the terror of this great army. That the best description you can find is in Habakkuk 1. The Bible said they're fiercer than wolves and more terrible. They're fiercer than eagles. They're swifter than eagles and more fierce than the evening wolves. They'll come all to eat the prey. They're a terrible army. And God had already warned Israel of what that judgment would be if they rebelled against the prophets of God and would not hearken longer to his voice. And he raised up all the families of the north under Nebuchadnezzar to bring them against Jerusalem to destroy that city and to carry them into captivity, some 4,600 for 70 years. And of course, when we read the book of Daniel, the first four chapters, we get a great insight into that captivity and into the witness of God in the midst of that pagan captivity. God had that remnant to bear witness of his sovereignty. I do what I want to do. And I'll tell you one thing, he told Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4, "Bud, I do what I do and want to do in the armies of heaven and in the earth. You're like grasshoppers to me, and none can stay my hand or say to me, 'What you doing, God?'" And after God got through with that old fella, he ate grass like ox 7 years. He was really God's servant. He said, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, do extol and honor the God of heaven, who has all power to do anything he wants to do." Praise God. "I honor and extol him. There's no God like this." We find Nebuchadnezzar bowing before the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and worshiping that God that they had given witness to in the fiery furnace. God planned and plotted the course of those men's experiences in Babylon, that they could bear witness to the miraculous power and the sovereignty of God, that God did what he pleased. And no man could come along there and ask him what he was doing. Let me read that, what he said. Verse 34, Daniel 4. "The end of my days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." God did these things. These fellows prayed, but they just put themselves into God's hands and said, as the old song says, Jesus, use me. And God had those fellows prepared to take to Babylon, to use them to bear witness to his sovereign power that none could withstand. And it takes a dedicated person for God to use in any capacity that God has pleasure in. You cannot make your life dear to yourself. Paul the Apostle said, I don't count my life dear to myself. And that's why God could use it. When your life is dear to yourself, God cannot use you to show his sovereignty. But he says here, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And then when his reason returned, his counselors sought him out, and he was restored and established in his kingdom. And verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. God don't do it, but he can. Someday you wonder, God, why don't you do that? You know what you can answer? Because I don't want to. God, why'd you do that? Because I wanted to, boy. That's not a derogatory thing. If God calls you boy, you better back home. Praise God. Sometimes we act like boys. And God treats us that way. Well, he wants us to be like men. Lord, have mercy. All right, what did God use him for here? I got to get this in here kind of quickly. Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this is God's sovereign will being carried out through a man that he didn't have anything to do with him being where he was or his calling. For those objectives that he carried out to glorify God, he didn't even know he was doing it. It was God's sovereignty that determined it. And I'll tell you, a lot of the course of our life is determined by God's sovereignty, his foreknowledge, his foreordination for us. And you better thank God he did arrange things. If he didn't, we'd make the biggest mess you ever saw when you try to arrange for your life's goals and determine your future. You better put it in God's hands. All right, in Ezekiel, the 26th chapter, God raised up Nebuchadnezzar to take care of Tyre. Now, Tyre was the greatest commercial city in the world. It ruled the world's commerce and trade. And Nebuchadnezzar, God raised him up and filled him with jealousy. And he said, I can't have this competition. God put it in his heart to go down there and do his will. What was his will? Here it is. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 3. I'm against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause the nations to come up against thee. What nations? All those that were allied with Nebuchadnezzar. All right, they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. All right, goes on, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, or Rezer, king of Babylon. Who is he? A king of kings from the north with horses, chariots, horsemen, companies, and much people. And he'll slay you with a sword. Verse 14, I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Oh, Lord, what a city. This was the most illustrious, the most powerful, the most visited, honored city, the most powerful city, the most affluent city in the whole world. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was not going to put up with competition from this city-state that was a thorn in his side, because he was building a world empire. The first world empire, you know, in Daniel 2, he had that great vision of that man with a head of gold, and Daniel told him, in the interpretation, he said, thou, O king, art that head of gold. God's given you all the kingdoms of the earth and all the beasts of the field to serve you. Now go down there and get Tyrus. All right, what was Tyrus? Verse 27, verse 2, says, you're saying to Tyrus, Thou art situated at the entry of the sea. You're a merchant from many isles. You say, I'm perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They made all thy ships out of boards of fir. They've taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan they made your oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Chittim. Fine linen with bordered work from Egypt, wast thou, see, made your sails from, blue and purple from the isles of Elisha, that were covered thee. And he goes on here and says here, you got your mariners out of Zidon, your wise men that were in thee were thy pilots. And all these, he tells here, even about the caulkers of the ships, and the mariners, well, came from Persian, Lud and Put, Put or something here, P-H-U-T. I hate to even say the way it really is, but that's what you say. Was in thine army, thy men of war, they hang the shield and the helmet in thee. The men of Arpad with thine army were upon the walls about. The Gamadims were in thy towers. They hang shields on your walls. They made thy beauty perfect. Then he goes on down and says, verse 15, the men of Dedan were thy merchants. They brought for thee a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was a merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in fairs with emeralds, purple, broidered work, fine linen, coral, and agate. Then Judah and the land of Israel were thy merchants. They traded in your market. They brought in honey and oil and balm. Damascus was your merchant. They brought in wares for your making and all your riches of wine and white wool. Dan and Javan, they were also in your fairs. They occupied some of the booths in your fairs with bright iron, cassia, calamus, and all those things. And it goes on down here and mentions all these nations that came and participated in the World's Fair. Now, the World's Fair didn't start in our day. They had the World's Fair back in the days of Tyrus. And you read of all of these, oh, Lord, these signs of affluence